Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 913 on kind of a drab Wednesday morning. We'll try to brighten things up a bit. I don't know how well we'll do. Ray Graff is in for Joe Donahue. That's already one strike against us. But, boy.
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse us. We have two wonderful women here to brighten the day.
I was getting to that. Okay. Stand by.
Yeah.
That little ray of sunshine you just heard was the lobbyist and consultant Libby Post. Welcome back, Libby.
Thank you.
And editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick, here on the panel. Nice to have you here, Judy.
It is always good to be here.
Now, as you notice, we're down a person. So there's plenty of room. Stretch out, relax.
Yeah, we
just
have.
Plenty of arm room. Judy is sitting in Alan's chair today. It's how do you feel about that?
You know, let's eat. Can we eat on the control table?
Oh, yeah.
Hell. You're so much taller, Alan, than you used to be.
Good. And by the way, Libby Post, since Alan's not here, you'll have to play the part of Alan. At times, he disagrees with you. So could you disagree with yourself?
Sure, no problem.
At times. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. If you want at home, you could play the fourth person on the panel or the third person on the panel and write us. Just keep it brief. And if you don't like if you're watching on TV and you don't like my tie or you want to talk about things that are not germane to the content, just forget it. Don't do it. You're going to say something, Libby?
How are we reading the letters?
Ah, I'm glad you asked. Sarah LaDuke, our producer, is going to bring me letters,
okay,
and I will read them.
Okay, because we know your technology challenged.
A little
using
bit.
Using a laptop here is a little hard.
Well, it's tough when you're hosting the show. Sometimes when I do Vox Pop, I'll bring
Joe's in. Joe's able to do it, so I'm not quite sure what the issue is.
Everybody has their skills.
I like paper. I've told you that many times. I like the paper. All right, so enough of that. Roundtable@wamc.org is our email address. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel says trust needs to be restored between the city police force and the community. Yesterday, he fired Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. The Illinois Attorney General is asking for a Justice Department investigation into the practices of the Chicago PD following the release of video showing an officer shooting a teen 16 times. Lisa Madigan is asking that the investigation weigh the department's use of deadly force and whether a pattern or practice of discriminatory policies exists. She noted the death of four other high-profile cases in Chicago, including the death of 25-year-old Ronald Johnson, who was shot by police last year. Mayor Emanuel has also named a task force to study police accountability in the aftermath of the release of the video. Some now, and the voices seem to be growing in number, are calling for the mayor to step down. First question for the panel, why did it take 13 months to release the video?
You know, I can understand, there was some rationale for the delay in release of the video, the fact that they were doing a criminal investigation, but why wait 14 months to create a task force? I mean, they saw that video 14 months ago, typically this is what happens with cities and police departments. They delay that video as long as they can, and if not for that one judicial challenge by the freelance journalist, we wouldn't even have the video.
Mm-hmm. It was politics, pure and simple. Rahm Emanuel had a re-election campaign. If he had done this the right way, released the video, established the task force 14 months ago, he would have ridden into re-election on everybody's shoulders because he would have done the right thing, and there would have been some transparency here, and things would have this whole issue would have been dealt with early on. It was a crisis communication issue that they did not get in front of. But instead, they bunkered down, which is what incumbents tend to do.
Now, I find this extremely fascinating. You've done crisis communications. This is one of the things that you do. And so you're the only person I've heard say, if he releases the video 14 months ago, he coasts into office. Now, as we know, Rahm Emanuel was in a runoff election this year, in large part, according to the New York Times, in large part because of anger in the mostly black and Latino neighborhoods over the decision by a school board to close nearly 50 public schools. But he was in a tight race, which eventually led to
a runoff.
And interesting to hear someone who's done crisis communication say, best thing to do is get that video out there. But if you've seen it, it's horrific.
It's horrific. There's no reason for that boy to be shot. There was no reason for that young man to be shot 16 times. He had a knife in his hand. He was walking away from the police. You know, we watch Chicago PD and we watch all of these cop shows and we see these cops and we, you know, that most of them are good. maybe Hank Voigt is a little questionable on Chicago PD, but we see this, and we want to think of our cops in those ways, that they are our heroes and they will take care of us. And I want the cops to be here when we need them. But there seems to be something endemic going on in the culture of policing these days. And I think Joe had somebody on a while back talking about who becomes a police officer now are folks who want power, who like the idea of wielding a gun, and we need to have a change in what it means to be in the police departments across the country. We also need to have a change in the integration of these police departments. You know, it's overwhelmingly white. Kids are being killed because of the color of their skin.
And there still are unanswered questions in Chicago. I'm not clear whether or not we really know everything yet. Was there more of a cover-up? Why wasn't there audio of that videotape? That's one of the questions.
There's also a video, I think, from a McDonald's. Burger King.
Across the street, they had surveillance cameras going, and the people at the Burger King are alleging that the part of that tape was erased.
Whom is the question?
Right, and the police department, I think, is denying that, but those are questions that are still out there that need to be looked at.
And, you know, and I get Emanuel was in this dicey situation. He brought in McCarthy, you know, and McCarthy had a decent record in New York, not so much when he went to New Jersey, you know, and it's this balancing act. But he's the mayor of a city. And when you're the mayor of a city, you are there to protect everyone and to make sure everyone is served. And this is the fourth shooting. It wasn't the first. So clearly there's an issue.
And if not for a videotape, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
That's right. And not for an independent journalist either.
So the videotape was not released until the family of the victim was the city council said, okay, you'll get $5 million.
Well, that was right after the runoff.
Yeah.
In April.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. But getting back to this point that you made prior to your discussion of the police, and I do think that there are tens of thousands of great police officers, and so you need to say that. But getting back to the point about crisis communications, how is it, what is the thought process that says, if you're Rahm Emanuel and you're looking, it's looking like a dicey situation to get your term as mayor, that you release this video that is so incendiary?
You mean to do it 14 months
ago? Yeah.
I would have thought that by not releasing it 14 months ago, you lay out the scenario that's just happened. And so if you had released it like you were supposed to, because that's why they have them, you know, he could have gotten in front of this.
Well, I mean...
And taken action then.
Do you think he was gambling that it would never be released?
Yes, I do.
He's gambling.
I do. I mean, you know, he's a powerful guy. He's had a lot of power in his hands. He was Obama's chief of staff in the first term. You know, I think he thinks he could control the entire scenario, and you can't, because there are just too many other factors involved.
And the police, I don't know whether the police thought that they could end up not putting the officer on charges, but the timing of that also very interesting. Mm-hmm. He's indicted on murder charges hours before the video is released.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where somebody will, you know, write a book, you know, in a year or two about it. But, you know, what happened is wrong. And I'm getting to the point where, you know, the party affiliation doesn't matter anymore. This was handled poorly, period.
But can the mayor ride out that storm?
I don't know.
That's my question. Does Rahm Emanuel survive this? There are calls. We're watching CNN with the sound off, as we often do in the newsroom. And there are calls by many for Rahm Emanuel to step down. Does he have to do that?
Yeah, is it building?
Yeah.
Or has it settled down?
Can they do a recall vote? Is that part of being a mayor? I don't know. I know you can do it as a governor, but...
I don't know whether the resignation of the mayor is going to lead to any real reforms in the city. That's what they really need.
I mean, the same people will be in the positions, because it'll be his deputy mayor who will become mayor, or however the succession is done.
And it's not just Chicago. Let's bring that back home. It's in all these major cities. It's a real problem that needs to be addressed from a more than a political perspective.
Judy Patrick is here. Libby Post is here. Ray Graffin for Joe Donahue. It's funny, you know, it often happens in sports, but a week ago, Rahm Emanuel expressed extreme confidence in Superintendent Gary McCarthy a week ago, and now he's a distraction and he's gone.
And he was, yes, I mean, it was the day before yesterday, I think, that Emanuel said, he's got my support. Yep. And then,
well, let's take a break here. Email address is roundtable@wamc.org. It's the Roundtable panel. We're in a strange agreement here on the program.
It's strange. Isn't it odd? It's something's happening.
Yeah. Let's take a break and try to figure it out.
Support for WAMC comes from the Center for the Digital Arts, Peekskill, located in the Downtown Arts District, with a makerspace with 7 3D printers, post-production studios, courses in UX design, and more. SUNYWCC.edu for spring registration. The Green Toad Bookstore, Oneonta's independent bookseller, with fiction, nonfiction, young adult, and children's books for holiday gifts. GreenToadBookstore.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. Holiday gift sets in stock now. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. And Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs and Colony, New York, purchasing jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, silver, antiques, fine art, and estates. MarkLawson.com.
Ah, welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 25 minutes after 9 o'clock, Ray Graff in for Joe. It's the Roundtable panel, and the panel is, it's a third short today. Alan out of earshot, and Judy Patrick sitting in his chair. Judy from the Daily Gazette, Libby Post here, political consultant and lobbyist, and you at home at roundtable@wamc.org. Jim writes in, I'm surprised that prior to the video's release, the police didn't claim the young man committed suicide by 16 self-inflicted gunshots. I don't know, it's too early.
Yeah, I was mentioning to Ray that it's not like every video of every crime is automatically released or even ever released. And here at the Daily Gazette in Schenectady, we ask for videos a lot and often get denied
and
access
so
to the video.
Do you foil them?
We do foil them, and then the foils usually get rejected. And the rationale often or usually is that this is an incident under investigation, and they will release it when the incident is done being investigated. The same rationale that was used in this case. I mean, they released the videotape once the officer was indicted or charged. I'm surprised they didn't wait until after the trial was over, but that often happens to us. The police officers will say that releasing the video will hamper their ability to investigate the crime.
I think there may be a point to that. However, in this case, I think the rationale was that there was a federal investigation going on, and clearly 14 months is an awful long time.
I mean,
everyone's had a chance who's an investigator to see that video and to question any follow-ups. So I don't think we've seen the last of this.
And you're going to see more of it you get the personal body cams on all the on police officers. And there's this question of, well, do the people who were interrogated by the police have a right? Is it invading their privacy to have that video released? I mean, with so much video out there, these issues of privacy and the right to know are going to collide more and more.
And there are so many cameras everywhere, and most of them are in private hands.
Right, in phones.
And so the police, they'll come and say, hey, listen, we need to take a look at that video. So then does it become the property, if there's a crime on the video, does it become property of the police or the city?
Or can they subpoena it?
Yeah.
Well, it's the public property. I mean, that's the thing. It's taxpayer funded. It's public property.
Oh, especially the camera that was in the cop car.
Yeah.
So Judy Patrick, at the Daily Gazette, you routinely will ask, and is there a desk officer you contact and say, we need this video?
Yeah, we'd like the video, because to be quite honest, the videos do really well online. People love to look at these videos. Often we will get them, but there are law enforcement agencies that do not like us to release video. When we go to a store which has had a hold up and ask for the video, in the past we've gotten it, but the police officers don't like it when we do this because, again, they say it hampers their investigation.
Well, it's one thing to release it. In other words, if the Daily Gazette website wants to release it, that might be a question, but will they let you look at it? Will they let the reporter go in and look at the video?
No. I mean, that's essentially letting us post it on our website in this day and age.
No, it isn't.
To let us just look at it.
Yeah,
and not
let your
copy
reporter
it,
who's doing an investigative piece look at it rather than letting everybody out there, some of whom may or may not have been in the store that was held up.
Yeah, there were. We've never done that. I don't think we've ever had success even, or we've ever offered that. We really want everybody to be able to look at it, because let the people decide, especially like in this case, you can make a really good observation based on watching what happened in Chicago.
Because if one reporter watches it, as objective as they are, it is through his or her lens.
Correct.
But it's also through the lens of the investigator looking at it, too. I don't...
Or through the millions of people who are looking at Chicago. Maybe there is some other way to interpret that Chicago video. It's hard to believe that there is, but maybe there's another angle that shows something entirely different.
And, you know, there are so many cameras. Everywhere you go, there is a camera. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that frighten you? I hate it.
Well, it's, you know, Big Brother's watching.
You know, Schenectady is considering this new tech project, which will install more and more cameras on the downtown streets. You know, and it is an issue that I expect will really come be debated in Schenectady as the project moves forward.
I think people are now just resigned to this, and I think people just give up their even hope of having a little privacy by degrees.
You got to climb a mountain to get privacy, I guess. And even then, watch the skies.
Satellites. Yeah, all right. On that somewhat paranoid note, we'll end the first half hour of the show. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. It's a very genial, relaxed conversation today. Wonder why. And it's the roundtable panel.
Joe's not here.
Because Joe is so argumentative.
Right.
Right you are. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back after news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Coming up on 9:35 on a Wednesday morning, it's the Roundtable panel. Ray in for Joe. We're joined today by consultant and lobbyist Libby Post, editor of the Daily Gazette, the ever-argumentative Judy Patrick, and you at home, roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. We're just getting along famously today.
No, you ask my husband. I'm
really?
Pretty argumentative.
I believe it. I believe it. And but here you're very pleasant. You're like Mike Spain, rarely argues.
Well, she's a journalist.
What do you mean?
I've
met plenty of cantankerous journalists in my time.
She's a professional journalist.
All right, fair enough. let's go to the email box panel. This is from Bob. I absolutely agree that 16 shots were far too many, even though that only takes seconds to do with an automatic pistol. However, I also watched the video and saw the victim's knife holding hand swinging toward the police when the shooting started. That makes it possible to believe that a reasonable officer could have felt fearful that the knife would be thrown.
Oh, please.
This isn't a simple case of completely unjustified shooting. That's from Bob. Thank you, Bob. This is from Bonnie. Panel. The security chief of our college once told me so many guard applicants bail out once they find out they wouldn't be eligible to carry a gun for a year. Guns are way too important for some guys. Wonder what they have to be compensating for. Bonnie, there you go. This is from... Brucey, Honan Square facility in Chicago, where arrested disappear for hours to days without due process, coupled with Emanuel's heavy hand and the police shooting and cover-up, looks bad for Chicago in particular.
And Chicago's a great city.
Love Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago, some of the best German restaurants in the world are in Chicago. It's just fabulous, fabulous place to eat and drink. This one's from Dennis. There seems to be a problem. Classic uber-liberal academic jive. What planet do you all live on? I don't know what we were referring to when we said there seems to be a problem.
With police. And the guys who go to become, and women who go to become police officers.
So then you're the classic uber-liberal academic jive?
I am. I'll own up to it, and I'm actually going to teach, so yes.
Okay.
I am academic.
All right, Libby Post. Way to go. This is from Judith. What are the implications of the family of the victim taking a $5 million settlement? Have we heard from the family since the release of the video, and what has followed? Well, I don't know the answer to
that. Right, the indications I heard was that the family did not want the video released.
No, they didn't.
But the journalist decided to go ahead anyway and did talk to them about it. You know, sometimes you get that. And
they wanted things to just calm down and not for there to be more riots and more violence.
And you don't think that was a precondition of the $5 million settlement, written or unwritten?
Oh, I can't imagine.
Really?
Yeah.
That is classic uber-liberal academic jive, or whatever that guy said.
Thank you so much for that compliment.
Okay. And a couple of people have theories as to why there's no arguing today.
Oh.
One says, stop agreeing. We need Shark Talk to play the little devil. Well, there you go. Thank you, Rosa, for that. Appreciate it. According to CNN... Trump leads as Carson fades. Donald Trump is now the undisputed leader of the Republican presidential pack, a new Quinnipiac University poll shows. This is quoting CNN, a piece from Eric Bradner. Hillary Clinton, meanwhile, now has a 2-1 lead over Bernie Sanders for the Democratic race. Trump has 27% support from likely GOP primary voters nationwide in a survey released today. He's followed by a second tier that's bunched closely together. Marco Rubio is at 17%. Ted Cruz and Ben Carson are at 16%. Jeb Bush has 5%. And no other candidates top 3%. Now, Libby Post, at the end of the show the other day, you and I were on, and you, very end, you said, Jeb's going to get it. And so I said, I want to talk to you after the show. Nobody at this point sees Jeb Bush having much of a shot. Tell me why you think he has a shot.
I think it'll be a brokered convention. I think that the Republican establishment, although they have been sorely weakened by all of this, do not want Donald Trump as their nominee. A, they will lose the election. It will be a guaranteed loser of an election for them. But B, it's about Trump's rhetoric has really brought the Republican Party's politics under a microscope and into the fore in a way that no other candidate has done. He is racist. He is clearly a bigot. And he is a bully. And he is, you know, he makes fun of people with disabilities. He makes fun. He tells the crowd to go beat up a black guy who's heckling him. He is, you know, one of the things I couldn't quite get at the other day was, you know, is this who we want our children looking up to as what it means to be the president of the United States and what it means to be presidential? He is a bully. And I do not think that that's what the leadership ultimately of the Republican Party wants at the top of the ticket, because A, they'll lose, but B, it will truly be the not the beginning of the end, but the end of the end of the Republican Party.
You know, I don't want to predict what's going to happen next year, but the more I talk to people, especially Trump supporters, at one point I thought Trump was definitely going to implode and this was going to go away. But when you talk to Trump supporters, and they're not crazies, they're real people who are listening to what they're saying. It's resonating with them, mm-hmm. and you can't overlook that. They can look past the lies, the misrepresentations of facts. They just think that's just politics, because politicians are perceived as not telling the truth, evading, being skirting around, not using proper language. So they're willing to abide by that, and I think he has more support. It's not just the Tea Party Republicans. I think that he may be enduring. I think that will give the Democrats the election. But I think he's going to be there.
Do you know, I saw a piece this morning, very early this morning. I think it was CNN. They said that Trump has only spent $200,000 on advertising.
It's all else
he
free publicity.
To.
Exactly.
Right. The media is covering him. Although I had read while I was gone that the major networks were saying, we're not going to cover you anymore because of the rules he was trying to impose upon them. And now he's saying they have to pay me to go to the next debate.
Really?
Yes.
Like he needs the money.
Right. He wants $5 million to be in the next debate, and he'll give it to veterans.
You know what? And I think his supporters will cheer that.
Yes, I do too.
Because I don't think they trust the networks. I don't think they trust the news media. And this is a guy that sure, he has fluffy hair, and he's kind of he can say some crazy things, but they think he's their guy.
Well, he's certainly not in it for the money. You would assume.
I don't think he's got the attention span to be president, to be quite honest with
Interesting.
You.
Interesting.
I don't think he really wants to do this. I think this is
You don't
all
think he wants to do this?
I don't think he wants to be president. I think
Really?
Yes. I think that ultimately he will drop out because of his business interests. I think one of the things I've said is that he'll start a new line of hotels. All of his hotels are up there. You know, they're very glitzy. They're high-class hotels.
They don't let me in those.
Right, right. They don't let us in those.
No.
He's going to start a new line of, you know, Trump change hotels targeted to the people who go to the...
Trump train? Like Trump change?
Right, right.
Nice.
Go to people who go to Comfort Inn, Motel 6, you know... Because that's his new constituency. He's making a relationship with people he never had a relationship with before.
Now, you know, there's a point further on in the CNN piece today that Clinton beats Trump in a head-to-head competition, according to the same poll, 47-41%. Just yesterday, watched Donald Trump saying, we are destroying Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
That's a quote. Not sure what poll he's looking at.
Well, he doesn't look at facts.
But 47-41 is closer than I would have thought.
However, and getting to Libby's point that the Republican higher-ups must be just waiting for the Trump factor to go away. Hillary only beats Rubio in this current poll, 45 to 44.
Right. It could be end up being Rubio. It's not going to be Trump. It could end up being Rubio.
You would think that she would, Hillary's camp would be scared to death of Rubio. A, a lot younger. B, he speaks fluent Spanish.
Yeah, but his politics are so anti-immigrant.
He's the child of immigrants, hardscrabble life.
I get it, but she'll have one of the Castro boys from San Antonio as vice president, and that will balance it out.
I don't know. I would think that in their camp they are fearful and they're hopeful that the Donald continues on.
Oh, yeah, they want Donald to be.
Yeah, we're still going to be talking about the Donald in April, May, maybe even June.
Doesn't that shock you? I know they must talk in the newsroom about, I mean, we talk about it in our newsroom. Is the long-lasting nature of the Trump phenomenon, doesn't it surprise you?
It does, because a lot of other political misspeaks will eventually, the people will go away very, very quickly. But this one, I think maybe it's a celebrity status that gives him that, you know, Teflon.
He's got ease with the TV camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got something of a reputation with the public. It is something you talk about in the newsroom, but it certainly... you got to really, really rethink how the American public is viewing politicians. I think it says a lot. I mean, in Albany, we've got this problem. Mm-hmm. People just don't trust politicians. They've never really trusted politicians. Let's be honest. They probably didn't trust Eisenhower, but it seems to have gotten worse. And you know, cable TV, talk shows—that's kind of exacerbated.
The 24-hour news cycle, social media. I mean,
in some ways, it's good because you get people really involved in politics and talking about it. But do you get a really issue-laden discussion? I don't think so.
All personality-driven. I mean, yesterday, his bravado about getting 100 black pastors to endorse him, and that was never going to happen. And they should have known that, and should never have said anything like that. But he did, and you know, now he's got to walk back on that. But well, I think what's going to happen is that I think there are people out there who think he's going to get into office and he's going to say to Vladimir Putin, "You're fired."
I like the way, and you know what? You actually that was a good impression of him. You had to see the hand gesture. The thing is, there are so many still in the Republican race. Don't you think this whole thing, in other words, the whatever percent that, let's say Cruz bail, or Kasich bails, and he's what, at 6%, something like that? Most of those voters, you assume, would never vote for Donald. So those voters go somewhere else. Don't you think the dynamics change once people start bailing out of this race? Or will they stay in the race till the end?
Maybe over the holidays, those candidates will all get into a room and have a summit, and they'll choose a representative to go forth. And
I mean, Christie might start rising up. You never know.
You know, one of the interesting things I read was that all the other candidates are afraid to challenge Trump because he's such a bully. They're worried he's going to attack him back. I mean, what are these the guys we want to be president?
Well, are these the people who can handle a presidential race against a strong Democrat?
That's the issue. That's the thing. Do you want somebody who sees the red button as his play toy, which is what some of these guys are, especially Trump, who thinks he can do anything, or do you want somebody who's thoughtful and who's not going to press the red button?
But I also don't want somebody who's afraid of a bully.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. But I don't think Obama's afraid of a bully. He just deals with them differently.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. And a few emails here, and then we're going to find out what's in the Daily Gazette. This is from Peter in New Paltz. Trump wouldn't sign the pledge not to run as an independent at first because he said he was being mistreated by the party, implying that if the mistreatment were to recur, he could still run outside the party. If he comes to the convention with a bunch of delegates and is ultimately denied the nomination, wouldn't that constitute mistreatment in his view? I think there's got to be that fear among the GOP elite.
I think he walked back on his "I won't run."
He mentioned it the other day.
Yes. He said, "No, I won't run if I don't get it." And now he's saying he will run. So,
this one is from Stevie. Donald Trump and President Obama are two sides of the same coin. As nutty far right as is Trump, Obama is nutty far left on many of the same issues. I'm a non-party registered conservative voter. I didn't want Obama, but neither do I want Trump by any stretch of the imagination. Still waiting for a serious candidate on the right to come forward, and that's from Stevie. This is from Pete. Folks, Trump accurately represents the coarseness of the American people and its so-called culture. The ivory towers are no longer respected in an age of delusion.
Interesting.
It's true. It's true. Look, people don't believe. 99.5% of scientists believe in climate change, believe that there's a problem, and yet these folks don't want to listen to academics. They don't want to listen to science.
This sort of gets to the comment I made about TV culture and all of us seeming unreal,
mm-hmm.
and the line between entertainment and politics, where in theory, decisions made by people you watch on TV as entertainment could affect you personally. It's a very interesting sociological point, I think. This is from Cody in Greenfield. What if Sanders wins, which is a long shot, and Trump is the Republican nominee? Who would win then?
Well, the CNN poll had Bernie winning.
What do you mean? Which one?
Sanders-Trump.
Oh, against Trump?
Sanders-Trump matchup, Bernie won.
Hmm. Well, once again, the email address, roundtable@wamc.org. We're not arguing today. It's kind of relaxed, and you're doing very well at home joining in. We'll take a short break, and then we'll find out what's new in the Daily Gazette with Judy Patrick, who edits the thing.
Support for WAMC comes from Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, featuring handmade wreaths and kissing balls, roping, greens, and fresh-cut Christmas trees for holiday decorating, plus gift cards for the gardener, whitneysfarm.com. Utica College, working to help solve the college affordability issue with its tuition reset initiative, utica.edu/affordable. McTeague and McClellan, hosting a diamond and estate jewelry event December 3rd through 5th at their Great Barrington showroom with a gemologist available to evaluate the value of unwanted diamonds and jewelry, mc2jewels.com. And Berkshire Stringed Instrument School of Lutery, Windsor Mill, North Adams, Massachusetts. Working to guide students through hand-building guitars, mandolins, and ukuleles, berkshirestringedinstruments.com for class registration.
It's the Roundtable on WAMC. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, 9:50 on a Wednesday morning. We're wrapping up the Roundtable panel here, the home stretch, as it were, with consultant and lobbyist Libby Post and editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick. And Judy, what's new in the paper?
So yesterday was Giving Tuesday. This is this global effort by nonprofits to get donations into their funds. It follows Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. So we did a story, a traditional story about what was happening, but there also was something interesting happening in Schenectady's Hamilton Hill, which is one of its poorer neighborhoods. Carver Community Center closed a couple of years ago. They had some financial problems. The building's been sitting there for a couple of years. It's in disrepair. And the U.S. Bankruptcy Court put it on the auction block. Original bid was $150,000. Didn't go. They've had four auctions trying to sell those things. It's now down to $10,000, but it's got hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax liens. So they held a telethon last night in Schenectady.
Really?
It was at Proctor's at the arcade, the Rob Alley, and they wanted to raise some money. There's this group called Miracle on Craig Street. It's a grassroots group trying to raise money to get, not necessarily to bring back Carver, but to get a community center in this neighborhood, which is poor and which needs all sorts of services. There are services obviously there already, but Carver was an important force up there. So they've already raised $25,000 since August when the group first formed. They raised about $8,000 last night. There was a lot of singing and dancing. It was televised on the local cable access channel.
So how much do they need to cover the liens?
Yeah, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Really?
Yeah, and then the building probably needs a new roof. I mean, it, from accounts of people I know who've been inside, it needs a total makeover, or more than a makeover. The city's talking about just foreclosing on it and just building something new. I think whether or not the building, the Carver building itself, which is kind of a modern building up there on the hill, whether or not that actually will, if there's the money to save it, it's hard to believe. The city can't actually, they say they can't actually just forgive the taxes. They can forgive the extra, the penalties and the accrued interest. They say they have said that they can't.
There is a law.
That is what the approach. So it's not like the city can step in and say, yes, you can have it for $10,000, go to town, get those programs back in. So it's a lot of getting this thing back up and operating would take a substantial amount of money. But it's but what we've taken away from this is the fact that there are people in that in our city or in the city of Schenectady that care about getting that kind of service back up on that in that neighborhood, and they have worked hard to raise money.
Has anyone made a call to, say, a casino developer about it, looking to curry good favor?
It might be something that they should consider doing. It's been a project we've been following for a long time. Again, the last time it was on the auction block just a couple of weeks ago, $10,000, it got no takers. The building really needs some work.
I'm surprised that the city is saying they can't forgive
the taxes.
The taxes. I find that, especially since it was a nonprofit who owned it.
If they take it for back taxes, then they're going to have to. They're going to have to spend some money to tear it down. And you know, that can cost $100,000 a month.
They'd be better off just forming a new 501c3 and starting anew at someplace else, and not trying to get that building back.
There are plenty of buildings in Schenectady that are empty.
Yeah.
Anything else going on?
Yeah, you know, we also wrote a story about the city of Amsterdam's south side. So in Amsterdam, they are building with federal funds a $16 million pedestrian bridge.
Yes.
It's going over the Mohawk, and it's connect the north and the south side. So the city of Amsterdam is divided by the Mohawk River. There's the south side, which is also part. So one of the stories we had today was about this a proposal to build this culinary business incubator on the south side. Huh. So what they're trying to do is develop the south side of Amsterdam more so people will enjoy this $16 million bridge.
Actually go over it.
Go over it and have a destination on the other side. In addition to the $16 million to build the bridge, which is being built right now, the state of New York is pitched in like $1 million for upgrades to make the bridge look good or for artwork.
So they're still working on the final design, right?
They are, and it's supposed to be a tourist destination to help revive, you know, the city of Amsterdam, which, like a lot of small cities along the Mohawk, which relied on manufacturing a century ago, is facing tough economic times.
Well, that's an interesting project, and we'll certainly see. If they put a bridge up and no one crosses it, we'll certainly see some follow-up in your paper on that. A couple of emails here, roundtable at WAMC.org. This is from Jeremy. Why spend so much time on Trump? I'm 27 and I know myself and many of my peers actively campaign for Sanders. He can and will win. That's from Jeremy. This is from Daniel. I'm no fan of Trump, but if you do not realize that Americans today do not believe any politicians and the things that Trump says a while viewed by you as racist and hateful, do not compare with the lies that the American public are fed every day of a very consequential nature, because these lies are very polite and well said. They are more easily palatable by the left. You want to respond, Libby?
No.
I think we recognize
everybody
that.
Has their right to their opinion.
Okay, fair enough. And this one is from W.
Oh, W. Oh, man.
All right. America. Here we go. Why hasn't the panel discussed Sanders versus Trump? Bernie Sanders has created serious energy in the campaign and the discussion of serious real issues. Well, I guess W didn't write that one. I think we talk about Bernie
a lot,
don't we?
Yes, we did.
But Hillary, according to the latest poll, and again, polls are polls and you never know, but she's got a commanding lead at this point.
Yes, she does. And it will continue to grow.
Okay.
And you think Sanders is declining? Is that what we're seeing?
According to the
if Hillary's growing,
yeah, he's got to be going down.
Yeah, I don't actually.
But there's pretty strong support for Sanders in this area. It's from what I see. You see the bumper stickers. You see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go over to Vermont a lot, and there's quite a bit of support.
I'm
over
sure
there
is.
Well, we'll see what happens.
But you know, I hope it gets young people involved, because I think it is. On college campuses, the Bernie Sanders effort seems to be sparking interest on the campuses. We'll see what happens.
Isn't it funny that a guy who seems so grandpa-like is generating so much excitement from a very young electorate? It's cool.
It's great. I just don't think somebody with that New York City kind of accent will play in middle America. I hate to say it. But he sounds
it's pronounced America.
Yeah, America,
like America.
Yeah,
it sounds like
America
he just,
counts.
Yeah, it sounds like he just walked out of the Brooklyn Navy Yards, as do I. So when I hear myself at any rate.
All right.
So, you know, it's interesting to hear him, because it's like, You know, you don't hear that accent as much anymore.
All right. Well, in our last minute here, just a round of applause from me to Mark Zuckerberg and his wife for giving up roughly $45 billion to commemorate the birth of their daughter, Max. And that's 99% of their Facebook stock going toward fighting disease, improving education, harnessing clean energy and stuff. It's a good chunk of change. But how will they survive with only 1%?
You know what? 50 years from now, Max is going to go, what the hell did you do, Mom and Dad?
I think they have plenty of other cash and reserves.
Let's hope there's not a child 2 and 3, because then what do you do? How do you top that? All right, we're done here. Libby Post, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You didn't really play Alan very well. You didn't argue with yourself.
I'm sorry. You know, I have a hard time with that kind of thing.
The dualism of the whole thing?
Yeah, the dualism.
Right, fair enough. Well, you did well after all.
On the one hand, on the other hand.
A long trip from Buffalo. You did very well.
Yes,
let's
thank you.
Thank Judy Patrick of the Daily Gazette and the website for that paper there, Judy.
DailyGazette.com. I'm going to go home and try to get more cantankerous.
Good.
I'll be back tomorrow.
We'll drink before the next show.
Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow.
Roundtable at WAMC.org. Hour number 2 on the way.